Welcome back to the Dogs of War podcast, the podcast dedicated to your playoff-bound Cleveland Browns football team. It is great to have you as always. This episode is brought to you by Szabo Apparel Company. You guys know the drill. If you need any Browns or Cleveland gear, you know right where to find them. SZABOApparel.com. Unless you've been living under a rock the last few days, you've seen the story of Tom Seipel. A story that the world has never needed more than right now. We're going to have a whole episode coming out Thursday to recap his trip to Cleveland and how much he has inspired people around the world. More info on Tom as well as his GoFundMe is in the episode description. Tonight, we bring on the number one highest graded lineman in the NFL, Mr. Wyatt Teller, along with his fiance, the number one highest graded fiance in the NFL, Ms. Carly Whiting. We talk all things Browns, pancakes, getting engaged at First Energy Stadium, and lots more. Let's go. I still believe.
And now, on the Dogs of War podcast, we bring to you two very special guests. First is a name you've been hearing a lot in this magical season. The highest graded O-lineman in the 2020 season, according to Pro Football Focus. He is the unsung, well-hung hero of the Cleveland Browns run game. He is the sultan of the somersault block, the pancake king of the Midwest. Ladies and gentlemen, Dogs of War, please welcome Mr. Wyatt Teller. And with him is the pride of Wyatt Teller, the Heller household. Maybe that's true. Maybe it's not. The pride and joy of Craig County, Virginia. In the mid-90s, you all remember her from the Jay Leno episode where she went on to demonstrate her ability to make sea animal noises. She was voted best dress and best personality in her graduating class of 60 people. Current roommate and recently upgraded to fiance of Wyatt Teller. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Carly Whiting. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. We're happy to be here.
That was so good.
Congratulations again on the engagement.
Thank you. I'm happy that she's happy.
That's the right answer. That is the right answer. We are actually both. I just got done with a COVID engagement. So you guys are now in that.
You got married. You had a COVID wedding, a real COVID wedding.
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. But thank you. But I'm saying there was a period where it was just the COVID engagement, yes. And then it became a wedding.
And a period where some people got invited and uninvited twice, but that's another time. We'll talk about that.
You know what? You loved him. You invited him twice. You loved him so much.
Yeah, he didn't make the final cut.
It was over linings.
But yeah, I have plenty of advice on that. If you go small, being able to cut relatives you don't like is one of the greatest perks of all time.
That's kind of our plan. I'll DM you about that.
Yeah, anything and anything. Your opinion, this is to Wyatt, you will be asked your opinion, and it will be wrong or not considered. So you're going to be frustrated when you're asked your opinion again and again and again, and to no fruit. But you just do what you got to do to keep it going. You're going to get through this, guys. It's going to be fun.
Yes, it's the fun part.
Today was his off day, and literally we sat in the living room
and just called
3 hours. And I was like, okay, I need you to answer these questions and tell me, you know, what you think about this. He does not give a shit. But he's like,
but I'm there.
You know what?
Yeah, that's.
I'm there. Physically and mentally, I'm there. So that's all that matters, right?
You just have to try to care. I think that's half the battle.
I mean, I've learned something in football, and that's even if practice sucks, you got to get it done. So it's like, you know, this is the practice for the big day one day. So I can.
That's a lineman right there.
What colors or what cat, like who's sitting at tables, but it's all worth it in the long run.
That's a lineman right there. That's a man spreading the trenches every Sunday of his life.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, it's worth it.
Does his shirt feel like husband material?
Yes.
It sounds like.
Nice, like. You know, like, mine's just, like, basic. Oh, and did you see that we dressed for the podcast?
I was
like,
oh, yeah, sick.
So they're very vintage look to those shirts. Once again, people that are listening, we're on video right now. Their shirts are off the chains. great vintage look to him.
This is kind of like the old school. What's this guy? You can't see
the me. Elf. You yeah. got the elf.
Brownie yeah. the elf.
Hey.
What? I mean, what?
She's new.
That's okay. It's okay. Hey.
Oh no.
Our light.
Oh, that was a computer. I was gonna say everything still sounds good.
If y'all can see how we have this,
it's janky, but
ring light set up. It's like my makeup ring light.
Whatever it takes. Like I said,
you guys are just the salt of the earth. I love this. I'm so glad you're on.
Again, congratulations to you guys. We're very happy for you. Love the video. Incredible. That was. I don't. Why? I'm sure. I mean, I don't know how you set that all up, but that was unreal.
Can I just say that? Even. I mean, obviously. He's very blessed to have a lot of resources.
With undersell, overachieve. That's what it's all about.
But Wyatt, I told him this so many times since it happened. I'm just so proud of him for pulling all that off and organizing it and surprising me. It blew me away. It was amazing.
I feel like she started getting it as soon as we started walking on the field.
Well, yeah,
She wouldn't notice the tarps or anything that they keep on all the time, but like we start getting about the 35-yard line, and she starts like lagging behind me. Like
I was like,
"All right, what's going on right now? Why are we walking to the 50? Like this is not normal." And then all of a sudden,
none of it was normal, but I was blacking out.
She was just fainting every 5 seconds.
Literally, I was like, "Is this a dream? Is this real?" I kept saying to Wyatt, "Is this real?"
Yeah, I was like, this is real.
Okay. How'd you get her there? What was the reasoning to you just pulled up? Like, I go to the locker room and get my jersey.
Yeah.
So.
So we were on our way to meet some friends, a small group of friends, for like
socially distanced and all wearing masks. Everyone, relax.
Yeah. A little Christmas thing, and so I was about to wear this like Santa baby bodysuit and be like super Christmassy. And
why did this not happen?
Wyatt, who has never given a shit about anything I've ever worn, was like, "Oh, are you gonna wear a coat?" And now looking back, I'm like. Okay, that was
like if she walked out in Santa baby red stockings, I would have told her obviously like, "Hey, sweetie, let's wear a big jacket, you know, jacket tonight."
So,
you know, so it worked out. But
yeah. So anyway, long story short, he told me that he had left. He told me that he had left this gold cross necklace, which we both love. We got it in Israel this off season.
So it's like a big deal to both of us.
He wears it before every game. He told me he left that and his AirPods at the stadium, which was very believable. And that the security guy could only let us in during a certain time on this certain day. And I had been down there to get his phone before, so it wasn't like that weird. So we were gonna go to the stadium before we went to this little get together. And so we're on our way down there, and I remember looking to Wyatt and being like, "Why are we doing this right now?" And then I thought, "Huh, I don't know. Why are we doing this?" And so then we get down there, and my heart just started palpitating, and I was like, "What is going on?" And then we go into the locker room. He said, "Oh, they said that you can come in with me. We got to go to this guy's office." We go into the locker room. He shows me around the locker room. I went and peed in the guy's whatever. And
then, sick.
Yeah. I know. I was like, "Ooh, I'm cool." And so then, anyway, we're walking to this guy's office to get his stuff. And then you guys will love this. And then we're walking to the office. He hits this button on the wall, and the garage doors open to the
field.
Yeah, like the tunnel where they run out. The garage doors open, and I was like, he said, "Well, do you want to walk out and just like see the field?" And I was like, "Yeah, I do." And so then we walk out, and it's kind of like a little misty, rainy mood.
Beautiful Cleveland weather.
It's a true.
Yeah.
Nice and 36 degrees. Got a nice little stream of mist coming down out of the rain.
And what I didn't know was that the field gorgeous. Would normally be covered during the day, but I didn't know that. So they had done that for Wyatt, which was very nice. Again, he had a lot of connections. Help. So then we get out there, we walk to the 50-yard line, and then all of a sudden, all the jumbotrons turn on, and it's a video. It says Wyatt and Carly, and it's a video my sister had helped Wyatt make, and it was all, I'm a big Taylor Swift fan, it was Taylor Swift and all pictures and videos of us. And then at the end of the video, it said, "Carly, will you marry me?" And he got down on his knee and asked me on the 50-yard line. And it was, and then there was a videographer and a photographer.
And she never said yes. So I'm like sitting there like,
"Oh, I did. You can.
Hey, do you? You no, can no, no, no. Wait, wait, wait.
I like, look like a crackhead."
She's like, she's shaking her head yes, but she's not saying yes. So I'm like, "Will you marry me?" And she finally says, "Yes, of course."
Rewatch the video. I'm like,
I've never seen someone physically swoon. It was amazing.
And if you watch it, it's so funny because it's such a genuine reaction. Because yeah. I honestly was like blacked out.
It was amazing.
Not off alcohol.
This video is unreal. It's incredible. So if you guys listen, haven't seen it yet, it's on Carly's Instagram. It's on probably 50,000 different news sites. So yeah, congratulations. Nicely done. Now, as we were saying before we got on the mic, I do have to say, on behalf of all of us still non-married, single guys in Ohio, Northeast Ohio, thank you for setting the bar so damn high that every girl in Ohio is now seen, and now we don't really have any way to get even close to that. So thank you for that. We do appreciate it.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. Well, you've made up for it. But another question.
I like joke to Wyatt a couple of times. I'm like, if we ever get engaged, which I knew we would. It's like, if we ever get engaged, I think you should either do it like in the living room with our dog and really private, or like at the stadium.
Yeah, she said that I view you doing it one of two ways, like with a ring pop in the living room or with a giant, ring on the stadium, on the 50-yard line. I was like, okay. So now you gave me an idea. Thanks.
Okay, so where's the real ring? No, it's the ring pop. It's the ring pop.
Oh, you thought I bought her a ring?
Wait, question. How many people have dropped the joke on you guys? Did Baker and Emily give you permission to get engaged in their house?
Yeah, actually, they had
nonstop
for us to walk in.
They did. Very nice. Yeah.
No, we've gotten that joke about probably 507 times.
Well, Wyatt doesn't have social media, but yeah, everyone keeps commenting that, which is funny because there are buddies.
Yeah, and it's just funny because it's obviously it's their home. It's Baker and Emily's home.
That's pretty good.
And that janitor guy who I got to meet someday.
Yeah, he.
I just want to get on a Progressive commercial.
Yeah.
Well, you're making the right moves. You're climbing that little ladder of.
I'm like, Emily, let me on.
Jed made it. He was playing video games or something on there.
I'll work the concession stand.
Jed's in the book club too. Yeah.
Yeah, book club. That's what it was. Give me two lines. I can do that.
Did you black out at any part of that, Wyatt?
The
engagement.
Oh, after. No.
Okay. Not an alcohol induced blackout, but I black out. I do not remember what I said. Did you blank out at any point of it?
He was so smooth.
So I even wrote stuff down. I wanted to put some good stuff down. Yeah. And I even had like 4 or 5 sentences, written down. And when I got there, I said about, maybe a sentence or two, something sounded good. And then I said, hey, will you marry me? it didn't exactly work out how I thought it was.
But you were so cool, calm, and collected.
Thank you.
Nice.
I don't fold like a lawn chair.
Cool being at the game on Sunday, and even though I was still coming down from the night before. But it was cool being at the game and watching him play and being like, wow, last time I was here we were on the 50-yard line. Yep. And proposed, so that was really special.
Showed it during the game or something.
I was like, where's my moment on the jumbotron?
I hope not. Well, C wanted it, of course. But
it's her day. Perfect segue. We're all about segues on the Dogs of War podcast. The Sunday experience. We obviously have no idea what it's like to be in the NFL, a lineman in the NFL, or marry somebody that's in the NFL. I constantly debate with myself what would be more physically demanding, being a running back or being an offensive lineman. I think it's got to be a tie between those two, and I'm not looking for a definitive answer, but I would like to hear a lot of the things that go on in your mind during the games, and I'd like to hear Carly's thought on watching, which I have the questions a little bit more tailored, but that's just kind of where I'd like to kind of gear this, if that's okay with everyone.
I'm good with that. I can give my best assessment of that question. I really think that it's, and of course you're going to hate the answer, but I think it's different, right? I think that an offensive lineman, our contact zone is about 3 yards. We're running full speed, but we're hitting about 3 yards. So every time we hit, it's a big collision, but we hit every play. So I think that there's different injuries that come in that, right? Like a broken finger, a dislocated elbow, a dislocated shoulder, thumbs out of place, high ankle sprains, right? Like I think that happens with running backs too. But like I see, and there's knee injuries, you never pray for an injury.
What's game day like for you though, like before? Is that what y'all are asking?
Well, kind of both. I
think they're asking like injury. Well, I'll tell game day too, but I feel like with running backs, they're running 10 yards into a guy who wants to rip their face off, right? So, like, a defensive lineman, he wants to rip my face off, but he really wants to get to Baker behind me.
I never get how those little running backs, not little, that's rude, but I don't, like, running into all those big guys.
For example.
Yeah, it sucks. That's what I'm saying.
My input.
Kareem dislocated a guy's shoulder. The guy tried to knock him out, and the guy
Kareem with the band.
Yes, great segue.
Something out of things.
Because I wanted to ask Teller to kind of blend these two together, lineman and running back. that the play where Baker won it by running and getting the first down, as a lineman, Kareem threw down a block that was out of this world. How do you grade that as a lineman?
That block? It's so cool, right?
So to use the words of the great BC, the great Bill Callahan, you could tell that he ran up onto his toes and he climbed with his hips. So when he hit him like a Mack truck, not like a
he's
Prius.
Shit.
Even if they're both coming at 50 miles per hour, one's going to have a lot more mass because it's hitting you at a better leverage angle. So like when he hit him, I mean he was moving. I mean, that was something else.
That's a sick analogy. I think that analogy is solid. PFF grade too.
I want to jump. We're going to be jumping all over the place here, but because you brought up Callahan, it's a great segue by you guys once again. So thank you. A lot of times this year in the press conferences with Stefanski, when they talk about on ESPN or just how good our offensive line has now become this year. So thank you very much for that, by the way. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you guys get the credit because you're the ones out there laying your body down. You're quite literally pancaking people. But they always bring up or somewhere in the conversation, they talk about Bill Callahan. And you guys talk about Bill Callahan a lot. Can you just talk about what it's been like having him come in this year as a coach?
Yeah, so the first thing I don't want to do is disrespect Campy and what he did last year. You know, I think he was given a real short stick. And I think that he was a great, great coach who was caught in a really shitty situation with other problems, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They're not here anymore, so obviously they were the issues, right? So, you know, or not the issues, but there were problems with whatever. But when Bill came in, you know, he finally, right, the first 3 years of my life.
And Wyatt already knew him.
Yeah, well, I knew him through Combine, but I mean, not great. I guess I had his phone number, but I'd have, you know, 50 different coaches. well, you know what I mean, like Coach Blank, Coach Blank, Coach Blank. Yeah. You know what I mean? Same. So you have a bunch of coaches you meet throughout life, but, you know, maybe a text or two you send to him, you don't really get that relationship. So I didn't have a, you know, great pre-Combine relationship. I'd say I had better with Coach Castillo. Okay. But I was drafted Buffalo, so you'd think, right? But yeah, so it was when Bill came in, you know, he gave me in the first time in 3 years.
He was tough.
He was, yeah. Well, obviously, they don't
know. And he stopped talking.
No, you're fine, but, you know, they're just asking a question.
Hey, I hear all these Zoom meetings.
Yeah, I mean, she's a part of
it. We're getting to those. We're getting to those.
But yeah, so I think that, like, with Bill, you know, it's, you know, he gave me my first opportunity in 3 years, right? So it's like when I first got to Buffalo, I was expected to replace Richie Incognito and Eric Wood, right, who nine-year and 13-year vet who are multiple Pro Bowl players, and I was expected who, you know, I think I'm a hell of a fucking player, but I don't think I can do that, right? So it's like I know my limits, and, you know, Deion Dawkins, who, you know, got paid there, DD later on, like, he had to go from a 13-year vet who his jargon, just the way that he speaks, is different than a guy who's like, hey, B block, right? Like, now they all know, you know, that we're all running a B block. Don't say that, Wyatt. You know, there's all these different terms, and, you know, JC's the king of it. But, like, you see all these, you know, things you learn in experience that, like, he had, I didn't. So when they expected that, that was kind of a short leash I had, right? So when I didn't, when we didn't go to the playoffs, right? They went to the playoffs the year before with Buffalo. Then I came in. I wasn't even given an opportunity to play. So I was pissed, right? I knew I was a starting caliber guard, but I wasn't given an opportunity. Then I come here, they give me a month and a half to learn the playbook.
Yeah,
which
last
you guys
year was
have ever seen an NFL playbook.
It's a foam, it's a yellow pages, white
I'll
pages.
I'll show you for example, this is 1 year in an NFL playbook. This is just week one. It's full of pages.
For one game?
Week 7 through 12. Another. Let's see if I can show you.
I know, it's weird. It's like,
and then I have 14 right here. So, like,
all right.
I can show you.
Listeners, we're looking at phone books right now.
For those listening, they're super thick.
Yeah, we're looking at white pages right now.
There's three notebooks in 1 year of what it takes to write down the playbook, the jargon, what changes week to week.
I won't read the notes from today, but
it says Joel and Coach.
It literally says 1-1-5-20. Joel and Coach.
That's the one that hurt us, man. That's what got us today.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Let's put that away.
Well, that's awesome.
But yeah, so three notebooks. It just shows you how much is put into a NFL
Callahan
playbook. I'm just talking about last year. And then coming into the season, you're expected to learn an entire playbook in a you know, 9 weeks, right? I started the I think the 10th game or the 9th game, whatever it was. So it turned out to be you know, just learning a new playbook, right? Different words, different things. I played slower. So when I finally had an opportunity to have a full offseason, a coach that fully trusted me in Bill Callahan, and a great coach at that, right? We can all attest to that.
Yes.
Anybody who even has heard the name Bill knows that it's, you know, put with...
Also has COVID. Weight. How sad.
I know. We have a lot of non-Browns listeners. Bill Callahan is the offensive line coach of the Cleveland Browns. And the Cleveland Browns offensive line is fucking sweet. Sorry for swearing. My mom says we swear too much, so when we swear, we have to make it count. But he's really effing good.
Yes. And it totally changed from the year prior, which is, you know, a testament to, you know, Joel, JC, who were anchors in Cleveland. You know, I think, you know, having two quality tackles, even a young one who can learn from Joel, and then, you know, Jack, who even brings me to higher levels. And then, you know, honestly, the biggest question mark was me. I mean, obviously, you know, when you go into the first round, you have some quality coming
you
out
really
of...
You really were the biggest question mark. And yeah. Then honestly, our backup guys, unfortunately, had to opt out.
And
it worked out.
This huge competition that was going to happen, oh, God, we're screwed. You know, we're going to have a
three-way. And we love those guys, but I mean...
And they're talented. That's not the point I'm making, but like, it's just funny how everybody was like, oh my gosh, you know, we were supposed to have depth. We were supposed to have all these numbers at right guard. Now we just have this Wyatt Teller guy. And then it turns
out,
I did it right.
This Wyatt Teller guy. And then actually you did one more great segue right there, because my next question is going to be like, Riley already brought up on PFF, you're the number one highest rated lineman for the season. League overall, you're number two for all positions behind some guy named Aaron Rodgers, who plays in Green Bay. I look him up after this, but so and like you said a minute ago, you came into Cleveland as a backup. You started week 9 last season. That was your first start, I believe, for the Browns, and you haven't skipped a beat since. A couple games that you couldn't play because of injuries. Yeah, those don't count. The opting out, all that stuff, like just. Walk us through, like, you just talked about a lot of the uncertainty and how you're pissed because you were back up here, weren't playing there, but you come in as a backup, and then you start halfway through last season, and now you're the highest-ranked lineman in the NFL. Like, walk us through how this happens.
Yeah, and another thing is, and I totally attest to that, too, but another thing is like, you know, with the injuries, like, such a setback in my life and, you know, in the short term, you know, that I've looked at, but, like, I've played football for 21 years, and I've had two injuries. Two game-changing or...
And they were this year.
Practice-ending. Like, I haven't even missed a practice. I think I missed one practice because I think I missed it because of a vet day or a senior day as a college senior. So that was one practice I've missed my entire career. Just so happens they're 2 weeks apart or 4 weeks apart. So that tells you about how tough I am, right? But, like, it's amazing. It's not how tough you are. It's how tough you are right now.
We had a... We had a doctor who's also my uncle, sports medicine guy. We're like trying to make it a reoccurring theme.
We've talked about him.
Dr. Tesner. It's really
Dr. Buddy.
It's really bringing our nephew, much more successful uncle relationship to the next level. So it's been great. But we kind of ask him, like, what goes on in that? He's like, yeah, when guys go down, it's not because they're being like soft or tough. It's like, no, their legs, their whatever the hell's hurt. That is worth more money than you can fathom. You have the team, them, everybody looking at it as it has to be the long-term decision.
And that's another thing is like when I hurt my calf, when I hurt my ankle, it's like, I could push it back earlier, but like at what point is it not having good gains? You're losing at that point.
Oh, he said this. When you're able to play, but your percentage of play is clearly affected.
It's so low. Yeah. There's no point in playing. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting your stock. You're hurting your teammates.
The only game I think it really... I mean, the Jets game.
Yeah, well, that too. But
he could have played that game, in my opinion.
Baby, you don't know me, but I love you. I love you. There's a reason they didn't let me out there.
Dr. Carly is now here.
Yes.
Obviously,
but that's the point we're making is if I went out there against that big defensive three, right? They have that big 97, big 94, and big 95. Yes, they have some or Giants, but also the Jets have pretty good defensive front too for how many losses they have.
Carly Callahan.
Yeah, right. She knows it all. Actually, I this
Carly
girl, she knows football.
Signing year's coming up. Do you want the yacht? We got to play smart.
Yeah.
I know.
But you guys well, have
the thing is like, there's no point in, if we knew that we were going to make these playoffs, right? We wanted to make these playoffs. We were right in position to make the playoffs.
Well,
I had the
here.
Possibility of playing five more weeks past the Steelers game, right? So, like,
yeah.
I had to make sure that when I came back, I was ready to make a run, right?
Was and it more, sorry, I apologize. Was it your or the doctor's decision to not play, or is it a combination of both?
It
this
honestly,
is something I feel like I struggle with when people message me and stuff,
yeah.
because everyone thinks it's Wyatt's decision. I mean, both.
They had me in a boot. So, like, they had me in a boot. They had me running. Like, you're doing rehab and stuff like that. So, when I high ankle sprain, a lot of people think it's like when you played football in high school. Those aren't high ankle sprains. High ankle sprains, those are rolls where you rolled your ankle and you're like, ow, my ankle hurts. Let me go in the next play. No, no. High ankle sprain is where you tear the ligament between those two bones and, or the tendon ligament. I can't remember which ones. Both I've torn. I've torn something this year.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like when it's, I think it's ligament, bone to bone. So when you tear that ligament, it shoots all the way up your calf. So like if you have pain up on your calf, you're out for almost a month, month and a half, because that pain takes forever to get that swelling out and all that stuff. So it's a process, and I know that a high ankle sprain sounds like, that's real soft, but it's like, yeah, I mean, I'm back. If it's pain, I can deal with it. If it's something I can't jump or step, then I'm putting my teammates at disadvantage, and I could easily get someone else hurt if I don't get my job done. So there's a line you got to play with. And
it's honestly nice that you all see it that way.
Yeah, and it's good that you guys see that, because a lot of people don't.
They're like, what he proposed, his ankle looks fine.
Come on.
I used my right ankle.
Come on.
And my left ankle is the one.
And what's even, and this is funny, most people don't know this, but I was like, where did you put the ring? It was in his ace bandage on his ankle.
Thank you.
Risky, but smart.
He was playing 40 chess when he got injured.
So he was wearing a big old ankle weight into the stadium, too. So
he was wrapped up. And that's where this big bad boy was resting.
Ooh, was resting. But
that's what we asked when we had Raleigh's uncle on. He's a big orthopedic surgeon doctor, so he's coming on to translate this stuff to us like we're 2-year-olds because we don't understand any of it. Because that's what we asked. We said, you know, are players seen more as, you know, the investment, the big picture overall? Obviously, you're in the NFL. There's a lot of money. You're also playing against people who weigh 300 pounds and you're not in high school or college anymore. So my question was, you know, when it gets to that level, are there injuries that, you know, people in the NFL sit out for that they would just play through in high school or college? It's a different game in the NFL.
Well, I think that there's over sweeping statements. So I think that it's the force you put on a bone, the force you put on a ligament, the force you put on a tendon, the amount of times you put force on that ligament, that tendon, tears it down. And if you're not recovering the right way, which a lot of guys in the NFL, if they're not truly taking care of the bodies, which, who says that I'm doing it the exact right way, right? We're all different. So we try to do it the best way we do, and we try to feel the best way we can. But, like, we're always tearing down our bodies. If you think about it, they say one hit from a safety and a running back is a 30-mile-per-hour car crash. And we go through 70 of those a game, right? So imagine 70 of those hitting your body, breaking
it
down.
I can't.
Right? I know, but it's just bananas to think about.
I always tell Wyatt, if I was literally knocked on the ground like any of them are one single time, I'd be out for a week.
Yeah, but there's a reason we're at where we're at.
That's why they're the best in the world.
We'd be out a week. You'd be
a week
dead. I'd be out like a month.
A week? Yeah.
I mean, you're smaller than us. We're like
I'm
large and out of shape.
I'm not small. I'm like pushing 5'11". You can't tell from my...
Oh, nice. So lineman sucks, physically. It's unsung heroes.
But at the same time, someone's got to do it.
But the somersaults...
I get paid pretty good money to do it.
Somersaults!
They keep people interested.
If that's how you got to do it. You just got to bring people with the somersaults and then finish them with the pancakes. That's...
Did you do the somersaults to inspire kids to be linemen?
That's what it was. I said, this can be fun. See,
I think the first couple times he just did it naturally because he's just athletic like that. But
no, it's 100%. I'm about to fall and eat crap.
Right.
And I chew my chin and just
but
throw
it's
my
so
feet.
Beautiful.
I, no shit. It's because you were falling
graceful.
Forward.
He's graceful.
Oh, 100%.
Oh,
every single
first time.
Time
he did it last
you'll
year,
see me
he
get
was
tripped.
Definitely tripping.
Every time you'll see it, I'll get tripped. Or I'll be falling.
Am I a dumbass for not knowing that?
I didn't know that.
Okay.
I don't know a lot of things.
I thought you were screwing around the whole time, and I'm like, that's
the funniest thing ever. Oh, no, he's definitely, like, he tripped and doesn't want to, like, he just...
Yeah, there's definitely no, taunting or something like that, like, taunting to the end zone. No, it's none of that.
Well, I thought it would be awesome.
Now
I didn't think, dude.
Why is that man doing an Irish jig on the 50-yard line right now?
Well, I didn't think it was, like, saying, you know, stick at Pittsburgh, but more like, all right, my boys are going to think this is sick. And then I was that's my follow-up question was like, what do the coaches say to you in like the like during films? Like, all right, jackass. But then it's like, okay, well, actually I was falling.
But
and it was
luck.
A sick recovery, so you're welcome. I just inspired a generation of kids.
You can't block people when you're on the ground, right? Like, or you can try, but it's usually illegal.
Has he done it like four times?
I mean, there's been a couple times.
Three? Did
yeah, there'll be times where like someone will like throw me to the ground or like, push me. And,
no one's throwing you to the ground. No one's throwing you to the ground.
I'm a heavy guy. I play over my toes sometimes. So let's say I trip and then I tuck my chin. And
when watching the game, most people when they're traditionally watching, they're looking at the quarterback. They're looking at the running back, whoever's got the ball. Are you watching Wyatt? Or are you watching the game? And what's going or like the whoever's got the ball? What's going on in your mind?
I'm watching Wyatt. And then, yeah, so the couple times this year I've had to watch at home, I'm better about watching the whole game. But I feel like when I'm at the stadium and I really want to, like, really dial in on what he's doing, I watch him more. Because I know that I'm going to know by the reaction and everything what's really going on.
Guys, she doesn't understand football at all. She understands offense.
And then she critiques you after the game.
Yeah, no. But she critiques me
first
on my
all,
technique. But
Carly Callahan.
That's true.
Carly Callahan.
First of all, I do.
No, it's not.
I don't know
it's
what
a
that
compliment.
Is.
You're not taking it as a compliment. Okay. You're being defensive.
I bet she knows more about
not that you understand the big picture. You understand offensive line.
I'm
stuff
always defensive, but what I'm saying is, I literally hear, yeah, and I hear all these meetings and shit, and like,
so like she gets
let's
it.
Be honest, like Wyatt's what I care about the most, and so yeah, I watch Wyatt more for sure.
But like, there'll be times where like she's like, "Oh, this you could tell this guy was playing super hard." So like, she can she's starting to understand like the effort part of it, the execution part of it. You know, it's actually pretty cool to see.
Okay, well,
you talked about your body and your body breaking down. One of the most eye-opening articles I ever read was years ago after Joe Thomas retired. It's a two-part question. He broke down because now he's skinnier than me and Raleigh, which is. A little,
yeah.
I mean, he looks good. He
so
looks good.
He also followed me on Twitter, so we've made it.
Oh, yeah. I've been looking for that follow for years. Not that I deserve it, but so he talked about his diet as a lineman and how hard it is to keep that weight up, doing everything that you're doing, and the toll that just playing takes on your body. So my first part of this question is, can you walk us through like what you and the guys eat on a daily basis to do this? And number two, do you guys have a relationship with Joe Thomas?
Yeah, so first part of that question.
I can answer the first part.
Yeah, so that was another big thing this offseason was like, so because of COVID, because of everything like that, I was in Roanoke, Virginia, and I was training at Virginia Tech at first, and then obviously school, you know, whatever ended. Out of the, what is it, 7-8 months we had to work out, I think I missed 21 days. Like, it was crazy how much work I put in. I was working 5 days a week, 6 days a week, every week for, you know, 7 months.
And
it showed dividends in the long run. I gained 16 pounds of lean muscle.
He gained 16 pounds of lean muscle, which was by far the most on the team.
So like, in the morning, I'd eat like 4 to 6 eggs, like 4 to 6 pieces
every
of bacon.
Every morning, I tell you.
You know, pancake, 2 to 3 pancakes. I mean, I'm
pancakes.
Have to have the pancakes,
But like, you know, I'm more of a waffle guy. What can I say? No, I fucking love pancakes.
Yeah.
No. It's not the Teller House of Waffles.
It's hot.
We're going to start our franchise.
Pancakes.
Yeah, you guys have the building blocks of something strong.
During the offseason, I don't know if I can say this, but Wyatt is ADHD, so he has to take medicine for that every day. Oh,
I also have adult ADHD. We're in the community.
Yeah, I take meds for focus too. We're all here. Let's go.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
Awesome.
I should probably. I don't.
It's honestly way more.
So Wyatt has to take like it's because he's so big. He takes this really high dose. It's not even Adderall. It's like something else. And so
it's Medeus.
Medeus, whatever that is. Oh, I took one time and it.
Appetite suppressant.
Yes.
Yeah. So
I'm writing it down. Hang
Wyatt,
on.
Wyatt of all people should not have an appetite suppressant because he needs to gain weight or keep his weight up. And so literally I feel like from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., I'm like force feeding him.
Yeah.
So that's another, like, that's a whole nother issue with his weight gain. You have to, like, make him eat.
Yeah.
But then by dinner time, he's, like, ready to go. So, like, yeah. What is your diet like at the facility? Because they have a chef. They give them all their food.
Yeah, usually I'll get, like, a mid-morning meal. When I'm in a good routine, I can stay on that food routine. And it helps with my ADHD and stuff like that. So as long as I can stay on that routine, I should be good about maintaining and gaining weight. Depending
his
on
go-to
what
is Taco Bell, though. Ask him what his Taco Bell order is.
Well, in college, I used to go to Taco Bell all the time. And actually, Taco Bell, like...
Big Taco Bell podcast.
Yeah, there was like this whole thing. It was awesome.
Tell me orders.
I mean, I don't know. Like, if I was sitting at the order, I would probably do it. But,
no, there's like, but like 14 tacos.
They're just asking me what my day is, baby. She is the life of the show.
Yeah, she is. Do you have your Taco Bell order memorized?
She must. I don't, but she must.
Well, but does she know about the cheesy fiesta potato?
She'll be right back.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so like usually around 11 o'clock, we'll get some sort of... protein, carbohydrate, something large, usually around 1,000 calories. So by the time that I leave football, especially a normal day, not this year was different, right? Usually it's a little bit mandated and regulated in the way that it's, you have meals here, you have meals there. This year was different, right? So it's kind of like in the building, out of the building, in the building, out of the building, testing, not testing. Online videos, virtual meetings. So it's a little different. But usually when we're in the building, we have a chef. We have four meals before we leave. Usually you're there 6 in the morning till about, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's a long day, but, I mean, it's a dream. You're playing the sport you love, you know?
So weeks ago there was an article that says, Wyatt Teller exposed to COVID. And I'm like, holy shit, that's Carly. And I wasn't like... oh my God, Carly, or, which, like, people have it.
Very respectful.
But what does it feel like when you read an article and you're saying, holy shit, everyone wants to know who he got exposed to, and it's me. Like, what goes on in your mind during that freaking situation?
I know. Well, I know it's funny. My daddy from back home, he called me. He said, yeah, I keep reading these articles that say that Wyatt was exposed to someone outside of the organization. I'm like... No, at first I felt really guilty because we were still in the window of Wyatt potentially getting it, because I had flown back from Nashville. I was in Nashville for the game, and I flew back, and Wyatt picked me up from the airport, and I think I can tell all this now. He brought me a cheeseburger. I took a bite of it, and I was like, I can't taste one single little. I can't even taste onion. I was like, I can't taste anything. And I said, I'm going right now to get a test. And luckily, Wyatt and I didn't even kiss him, nothing. Because I just had a feeling. And we were around each other for, 30 minutes. And as soon as I tested positive, the Browns sent him right to a hotel. So luckily, we saved him. So, I mean, I think I felt, when I would read that stuff, I was like, oh, that's me. I feel bad. But then once he didn't get it, I was like, dang, okay, we're fine. I'm just here by myself with the dog.
We're from about 2.5 hours about 4 hours away from there. But her family drove down to see her. So it wasn't like she was going to party and rage.
I don't care what people think.
See her normal people know that.
To see her family and see stuff. So it was different. But
it was
definitely an experience. I had about 30 minutes.
We were apart for 14 days.
30 minutes to pack everything up. So I got my video games.
I was upstairs crying.
I put them in a bag and I got them out.
What's your game? What's your game of choice?
I'm big into Call of Duty right now. Obviously that's what's new. What else? Rocket League, Rocket League all night.
Do you play Fortnite? Oh, you don't play Fortnite. Sorry.
I'm not 8 years old, but if I was 8 years old,
God.
I would play Fortnite.
Okay, well, I play Fortnite all the time with my 31-year-old neighbor, my 32-year-old neighbor, and my 10-year-old cousin.
That's the joke. He got
a lot of the guys play 2K, right? Is that what they play?
2K. A lot of guys play 2K, Madden.
Yeah,
a lot of sports games. No, I used to play Fortnite like religiously, and then just new games came out, and I kind of moved on. Where some people kind of just stayed playing Fortnite, I kind of moved on.
I play. You can play as Browns players. It's so fucking awesome. Excuse my language.
You do?
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm Garrett. I'm Garrett.
You should play with Wyatt.
I know, but they're $20 a skin, and we're budgeting.
Do they have chef hats or
we're
no?
Budgeting. We can't do it right now.
True or false? you guys have to get tested 7 days a week. And what does that process look like? You have to get up every single morning and go?
I haven't missed a test. Like, so I haven't tested positive. So I have had to take every test.
It's the whole NFL, right? Everyone.
The entire NFL. Yeah, there's like,
you heard it here first,
one or two maybe different labs, or might be just one lab that runs all the football, all the numbers, right? So, like, whatever. It's pretty crazy. I mean,
rapid ones because of everything.
Yeah, so we do a daily test that goes to that lab that's all tested through the same process as the NFL for a competitive, no advantage anywhere.
But then tomorrow, with certain situations, you'll do.
And then you do a Mansa test, which is the 30-minute instant. Well, I'm just in the middle of a sentence explaining something. But instant, the instant tests, the ones that you took.
Is it the saliva one?
Yeah. Well, no. Nose. They're all
the brain pokers. Yeah, those are fun.
So, but they're the same ones you've taken. They're not that crazy. They're the low nasal. They're never the high nasal. Thank God.
So because of COVID, you've talked about this. We talk about this with Baker and some other people too, that you guys, the whole preseason, you're doing your installs. And even today with the facility closed, everything's on Zoom. Can you help us non-football people understand how you guys have, and obviously we're 11-5, so things are working. How do you sit there as a professional athlete and do these installs or talk about plays or practice over Zoom? Like, is it like one of those like meditation app classes? Is it like Van Pelt and Stefanski getting on and going, Baker, close your eyes. Feel the leather touch your hands as Treader snaps the ball. Wyatt, feel yourself pancaking a D lineman. Like, but really, how does this work?
Yeah. So it's close to that, right? So I think that when we get first installed,
I've never heard that.
It's not far off of, hey, Bill Callahan loves saying, the right guard, number 77 here. He's going to go and work a double. He doesn't very call me by my name very often, but, right guard, Wyatt, Joel's going to be working in A block. So, that's how he talks to it at first. But something to add, later on, and I know most teams are a little different, but like something we could do is, walkthroughs or something like that, where they say, Wyatt, what do you got here?
Yeah, they're even doing walkthroughs now.
Yeah, just like where they ask, hey, tight ends, what do you have on this block? What happens if the defensive end plays down or plays out, right? Then I continue to the second level, or I follow him out, or I block him out, I U him out. So there's a lot of, ways that we can get it done without actually going through it. But it is difficult not getting the timing down, the full speed runs, run cells, the full speed sets, the full speed reaches, backslide blocks, your steps. So much of this game is timing and, execution of, that margin of error. It's tough not having that time, but, I think there is a part of it that also is getting your body right and recovering, because if you're always tearing it down, you can't really recover. And that's the part that I was talking about earlier, too.
Well, do whatever you got to do to keep doing what you're doing and maintain it.
I mean, we do it. We're getting it done. We're 11-5.
I saw that.
Hell yeah, you are. Hell yeah, you are.
Thank you for your service, Carly.
Thank you.
She does what she can. She's amazing.
I appreciate that.
You guys are both amazing. I love this team. I love this. I love you guys. This, everything, it's changing. Like, yeah. There's still smidgens of curse. Like, yeah, of course, we get into the playoffs and Stefanski and Betonio, they get COVID. Yeah. Like, Rome wasn't built into a day, but these are the right directions. We're building the blocks to eternal glory.
That's what I was saying. It's like
eternal glory.
The curse is a fickle Dumbledore. TCH. It as it's getting beaten up and pushed down the well, it's taking people down with it. And it just sucked that it had to be literally the man who needed, or who, should have had it the most, in Joel Betonio.
Yeah, gotta feel
more than anybody, in my opinion.
Do you guys find this out on like ESPN Twitter, or is it you guys get it first thing on Zoom in the morning? Like, who finds out this stuff first?
Most things get leaked. I want you to know that.
I see everything.
Yeah, like 85% of the stuff she'll be telling me before we have a meeting. But for example, the Joel thing, I think that he told us before that.
He texted the O-line.
He texted the offensive line before that happened. But I want to say there was a time where, like, you knew two or three people before. I was like, wait, we haven't, I didn't know anything. And they're not trying to keep anything secret around us. It's just HIPAA. You can't really tell everybody everybody's stuff. So it's like, in a way, you know, there's someone who's like, well, yeah, it was this person and, you know, whatever. You know, I think that whoever
I think what they do is they normally, like, we'll get on a team meeting and then what?
These seven people are out again, okay? These next seven, you're probably tomorrow, normally, Wyatt.
So today was their off day. Tuesday's their off. So normally they wouldn't always have a team meeting today, but they held one just because of the situation. And so it was sad.
Before we, I wanted to kind of switch off. I kind of wanted to add some of this light stuff in here, because I've been thinking about this for a while. Wyatt, do you have an inner monologue during games, during plays, like before the snap, where you're thinking something in your head as you're lining up to some other guy that's in the NFL that you have to manhandle or get manhandled? Like, what's going on?
So, of course. So, and that's a part of experience, right? So, like, you know, you think it's, I'm looking at, I'm going to rip his head. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to come off and I'm going to
punch him in the mouth. Are you a shit talker?
No, I don't even talk shit. Like,
Does that happen at the line? Do the linemen talk shit?
You'll say some stuff. Like, there'll be guys who are like, I remember Fletcher Cox had something to say, and I remember he was talking mad, and I was like, bro, like, I was like, who the hell are you?
Now that y'all know,
you're
Wyatt.
Fletcher Cox, man, and you're bitching at me. Does that mean I'm in your head, brother?
Did you say that?
He was like, fuck you, bitch, motherfucker. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm in your head then. That's like, if you're yelling at me, I'm Wyatt Teller. You're Fletcher Cox,
brother. Wyatt's probably out there preaching to them. I love this so much. You see, he's like,
but just like play that reverse psychology on him. Make him think that they're the best guy in the world. No,
you don't ever talk shit? You don't ever say anything?
I mean, I'll talk some shit.
But aren't you like, is it hard? Are you trying to listen to Baker and like...
Yeah, so there's a lot. So to kind of get into it, you sit down, you go through your play, right? It clicks in your head what you've got. You look at the front. Usually we'll make a mic declaration, and then you get into your stance. When you're getting into your stance, you're looking at the defensive lineman's stance. You're looking at the defensive lineman's hip posture. You're looking at his leverage, location, alignment, assignment, right? You're thinking about all these things as you're getting into your stance.
A lot.
And then as doing this, you got to keep in mind with your snap count and stuff like that, and you're listening to his count. You're listening to adjustments by JC. There's a lot going on, but at the same time, you find calmness in realizing what your job is, what your 1/11th is, how you can sell your job better, and then thinking of which hand does he have down, which foot does he have back, which is his feet parallel? Does that mean he can move better inside outside? Is one foot way further back than the other? That means he's going to sprint off the ball and try to hit me in the face, right? So I'm going to dip my backside hand and try to get under him, right? So there's so much little things that you get through experience in football where, like, when you get down into that stance, and I was telling Carly when we were watching the game, I was like, and someone jumped offside.
We watch games together this year.
Which is weird feeling. But
no, it's not. That's awesome. That's not growing together as a couple, helping your craft. I love it. Keep doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, this looks good. And he's like, shut up.
Yeah, and she'd be like, wow, why can't they stay on sides? And then one day I showed her our cadences, and it's a full page of 12's font, like, words, wording, like it's a full slide, like it's insane. It's like
you got adult ADHD, so that sucks.
I didn't go to Cornell like JC did. Now I went to Virginia Tech. Let me tell you, that's a state school.
I didn't realize the ballet that happens between the O line and the D, or just the O line itself, or lines in general, until Joe Thomas loves breaking down the Browns O line film on Twitter, as you guys all know. And he points things out. He's like, all right, watch Jed, and they switch off blocks, and this guy's pushing him this way on purpose so Hunt can do this and that. And, like, all this is going on in, like, 5 seconds. I think the majority of people that have never played football, the armchair quarterbacks like us, just think that lineman, you're trying to push through them and just get to, like, that's all there is to it. But when I see this ballet and this incredible what's what I'm looking for?
Symphony.
Symphony going on out there. There you go. Of blocks and pitches and switches. It's unbelievable.
This guy podcast.
Thank you, bro. Thank you.
This guy podcast analogies.
So, I know the easy answer to this is because we're pro athletes, is what we do. The Jacksonville game, The D-line lines up and does a quick shift. And then Baker, mid-count, just goes, that was effing cute, guys. How do you guys not just sit there and just die and just start laughing? Or like, how did then he call snap and it was a 10-yard gain? Like, is that just stuff you get used to? Like, is that just, does he just yell that shit out from time to time?
Yeah, so they moved and they said, like, blah, blah, and they'd move, and then they'd move, like, a little bit to get us to jump. And, like, we were all like, what the fuck was that, big boy?
Yeah.
Like, just line up in front of me and take this ass whooping. Like, what's up with you, buddy? But, all jokes aside, like, you know, they do it to get a competitive advantage. If it works, you know, you look like a, you know, brilliant guy. If it doesn't work, you look like an idiot. So we obviously try to make them look like an idiot when it doesn't work, right?
So it's
not bad, but there's a lot of, you know, Baker will say something funny and you'll try not to laugh.
It's funny.
But you'll catch yourself. I remember one time, I can't exactly say what he said, but someone was talking smack and he said, hey, how about you do something?
Ooh.
And he said, the way he said it, I don't even want to exactly get close to it, but I literally just start laughing on the field. I'm like, did you just tell that man to do that? And he goes, yeah, I mean, what's he going to do? Like,
I got you, Garth.
Punch me in the face? I'm like, good point. I'll probably punch him in the face.
No, he knows
why
it will protect him.
Yeah, exactly. You said it behind me, Dick. I have to block him.
True. Also true. When someone jumps, does everyone go back in the huddle and just forget it happened? Or does someone go like, dude, what the fuck?
So, for example, if I like were to jump or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. If I were to jump or something like that, we're going to go into the huddle and be like, you okay? Be like, yeah, I'm, you know, whatever. Man, sorry, whatever.
I don't know. Move on. What is it with you? What is it with the O-line? Like, I feel like no matter if you're a vet or what, I mean, it's always happening.
Did you
just not ours?
Did you hear what I had to tell you when I'm walking up to the line? There's 75 different
things. There's a lot going on.
And not only that, the guy across me,
I'm like, hates me,
wants to rip my face off and then break Baker's fucking face too. So like, you gotta be like, all right, I'm focused and locked into the smallest differences or details, because that's the difference between getting your job done and not getting it done.
Real quick, three coaches. You've been on had three coaches in the NFL. Is that correct?
Yes.
75 cadences on each team, each coach?
Yeah, that's about right, man.
I'm like, does that not – are there any teams that are like, hey, you know what, we're going to do 20? Or, I mean, I realize that there's a reason there's 75, but
yeah.
I feel like jumping off sides when you're a lineman playing in the NFL, say you're in the midway through the third and you've just been manhandling another guy that's in the NFL, like, it's okay to get tired. You're human. I want you to strike. It's not okay for you to jump off sides, just so we're clear. I will be super pissed off at you if you do.
Yes.
But I'm also like, but they're human. And based on, we literally thought it was, I'm going to go up and hit this guy, but it's actually, I'm looking at this guy's weight ratio from his left to right leg and jumping off sides. I'm like, why the hell doesn't that happen more often?
Yeah. And I think another thing you got to keep in mind is, like, as much as the quarterback is making those small little differences, you hear, you know, Reno 80, you might hear another voice underneath that they done mic over. That's the quarterback, that's the center and the guards and the tackles communicating 10 times more with the quarterback saying. Usually the quarterback's just looking, makes three signs, then gets into a snap count and gets it. The guard has to basically communicate, or the, you know, center really identifies, the guards communicate, and then the tackles basically communicate back into the guards. So like, there's like 10 or 12 words between the line. The quarterback has said three.
You guys, along with Baker, have all a combined all-pro hard count this year. That's been fun to watch. You guys have screwed up a lot of defensive players this year with that stuff. That's been great.
But I mean, and that proves the point where, like, in this last game, like, if you're focused about something else or if something else is going on, it can kind of bite you in the butt. But when you get it going, you're exactly right. It is, I mean, good luck. Like, you can't get a count. You're not going to get a good pass set because you're going to be slow.
Well, on the topic of the huddle, have you ever once, you've been here two and a half years, have you ever heard Chubb say a word in the huddle?
Yeah, so he talks, off, not too often, but
he's not like us. He talks when he has something actually, like, you know, what do they
but
say?
If you ask him a question, he'll answer. Like, if I say, hey,
oh no, he's not an asshole.
Yeah. But like, doesn't he's also not the guy to be
he doesn't
like,
talk just to talk.
Yeah, he's not gonna come up to me in my locker and be like, hey, Wyatt. No, what's up, dude? How's your family? He's not going to do that.
But he did say something.
He's all business. He's all business.
But
what did he say nice, Carly?
But like, what's up?
Did you say he said something nice?
Yeah.
Well, so he's like, I think he's always nice, but he said something nice recently.
Yeah, he's always nice. He's literally the man. Like, you got everybody loves
whatever him. Whatever Cleveland thinks about him is completely accurate.
Yes, like he is truly.
They say he's one of the leaders. They say he's one of the voices in there.
He doesn't ever leave with his mouth. Leads with the way he works, the way he rehabs, the way he does his life. I mean, he's just a great dude in the way that
he said something to Wyatt about how he, like.
Yeah, but like, I came up to him and I was like, hey, how are you feeling, right? Because I always ask my running backs and my quarterback, how are you feeling, right? He's like, that's something I can change. If I didn't do my job right, they're usually hurting. If I did my job the right way, they're usually feeling pretty good. And after a win, usually they're feeling pretty good. So I go up to him, I'm like, hey, man, you know, how are you feeling? He goes, I feel fine. It was nice to have you back and actually get some running yards. And I was like, well, snap, man. That's the nicest thing you've ever said and the most you've ever said to me. So this is great. So, this was 6 words. Thank you, Nick. And it's great to talk to you. I'm not going to spoil it. See you later.
My God. Like, but the numbers, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me. I think it's like when Wyatt Teller plays, we average like 180 yards on the ground. When you don't play, it's like 80 yards on the ground. It's like unbelievable.
It's insane. But I also think that, like, you know, there's been 4 of those games, right? Nick wasn't playing either, right? And I'm not trying to diminish what I am. I know that I'm a great guard, but like, I think that like there's other issues that come into that, right? Like one game that he had to rush, we decided to pass the ball and we didn't have any receivers, right? So like it's tough when you have to run the ball in a game that they packed the box with 10 people in the box. Good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be good though, knowing that you have Chubb and Kareem Hunt behind you, as well as Baker.
And they say good things to me. They say, keep blocking, keep doing the things you're doing. I say, yes, sir. You keep running the way you do, I'll just run people past the hole. How about that?
I love this culture. I love this culture. Speaking of inner team culture that nobody knows about, this is something a question I feel like both of you would have a pretty good answer for because you're both funny. Who?
Gas me up.
We'll start with Carly. Who on the team do you think is the most intentionally funny person?
Intentionally funny.
Yeah, like they are, their comedic timing is strong, their comments are strong, and they know it. And
they're
like,
the class clown of the locker room.
In corporate world, they're the guys that just crush it in meetings. I'm that guy.
I'm that one. No.
So I will say, because of a COVID year, we only hang out, like, I only get to really spend time with a handful of guys on the team. So I would say
that was like early on in the season, and then it was like no one, you can't see anyone.
Of course, I think Wyatt's funny, but I'm not going to say that because
I think Wyatt could be a strong candidate based off of everything you said. But
yeah, he's a mess. He's
in this case, you're not allowed to say him.
I would say probably Baker because he's clever, but I also have spent the most time around Baker, so I don't know.
Baker is very intentional.
He's clever. Intentional is a good word.
And he's very smart. When he says something, usually it was meant to be heard, right?
And like, he has a really good, like, he's witty. So, you know how, like, we've talked about this, probably, if people aren't sarcastic, like, if people don't understand your sarcasm, it's frustrating.
You come up as a total douche.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. And Baker's type of person, I can like say something like silly and sarcastic to him, and he totally gets it, and will give that back to me. And I think that that's funny.
Yeah, he's very good at that. I think that Joel is another guy.
And I don't.
Yeah, but that's like something I wouldn't really understand.
Okay, so who would you say?
I would probably say like say that
babe.
Joel is hilarious.
Kareem is funny too.
Kareem is too, but like Kareem's
he's
like
silly.
There'll be times where like, I don't know if Kareem's being funny or if Kareem
unintentional.
Really wants to kill that
my
guy.
Second question, which I felt like a little gun shy about, was unintentionally funny because I was also like, well, I don't want him to like bash his teammate or call him like a clown, but you could say it with love sometimes, you know. But I'm like, there is intentionally funny, there's unintentionally funny. One of my best friends, shut up, he's actually the son of the owner of the Winking Lizard, which we're going to make them one of our sponsors. Just the way he says things is so goddamn funny.
Punchline. It's amazing. Yeah.
So anyway, sorry for that rant. But yes, there's intentionally funny, unintentionally funny, people that get the sarcasm. So you got Joel, you got who else?
I would say Bake. Bake is there.
Well, and I don't know this guy, but he's hilarious, is Sheldon Richardson.
Yeah, Sheldon is. Oh, yeah, Sheldon.
I
don't get to spend a lot of time with the defense.
But he's hilarious.
Most defensive guys have a great sense of humor. Like, you know what I mean? Like, to be in that position,
he said,
you have to have a good sense of humor.
NFL office.
Half.
Oh, the sacks. The sacks.
I want half. I want half. That was awesome. Yeah, that
but yeah, we and that's what's so amazing is like when you ask who's the clown, who or not the clown, but like I know what you mean.
Well, they'd say why.
It's a half-hearted clown, like, you know, class clown, not like you're a clown, right?
Who's so, the intentionally funny genius?
Yeah, yeah, yes. Just the funny guys. Yeah,
like and you know, it's funny how like so many guys on the team, we have such a good melting pot of, you know, chemistry in the way that, like, you know, guys can make jokes, but at the same time, we all know when to lock in, right? Like, we can all joke around, and then when stuff gets real, you're not going to hear a joke. You're not going to hear someone laughing or giggling or ribbing or something like that. And that shows why we have the success, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's inconsistent. You see inconsistencies at times, and, you know, that's why no team is, you know, absolutely perfect, you know, because there are inconsistencies throughout the world.
Who would y'all have guessed is the funniest?
I would have said on besides Wyatt, I would have said probably Hollywood or OBJ.
Oh, see, I don't know OBJ, but Hollywood is
Jarvis,
very sweet, but I don't know if he's
Higgy's funny.
His touchdown dance is the best in the league. That's why I think he was one of the funny guys on the team.
He's
Oh, I bet he is.
Like, I don't want to say like this in a weird
but goofy
way,
but funny, but goofy too. Funny.
Yeah,
that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good way of putting it. But you just don't get a lot of time to spend. So that's why my first choice was obviously someone I spent all the time with, right?
Yeah.
In our room, like, someone who's
Joel,
very witty.
The fact that did you say Joel?
Yeah, but he's
Joel's
so...
Joel's going to, like, love that you said
dry
that.
Pan?
Like, in the room. Like, he's one of the guys who, like, in the room, like, if someone says something stupid,
it's
he's going to call
Wyatt
you out on
funniest,
it.
Wyatt's the funniest. He's the silliest.
But, like, no, but I'm not in that position yet. I'm still young. So, okay. It's like, you can't really call out Joel and JC for
he's
saying something
stupid.
He's going
into his fourth year. You're not that young.
No, but you know what I mean. Okay. We talk about this all the time. You would like JC. JC's really smart. He's very cerebral. So, he's someone else who, like, if he wants to get along with you, you'll love him. If he doesn't want to get along with you, you will hate JC. It's amazing.
He's
like,
probably
one of those guys.
So what's it like when Jed jumps off sides 5 times a game? Shout out, Jed. We love you.
Yeah.
Does
the rookie get it
Jed.
Bad? Does the rookie get it bad?
Oh,
yeah, does
yeah,
he?
If you jump off sides, if you're a rookie, your fines are, like, exponentially added. So, like, for example, if you get a false start. Yeah, come on.
I didn't know that.
We didn't know that.
Oh,
Wyatt
yeah.
You get
fined. Oh, no, not okay.
Why is that fine?
First,
for by,
let me
really
say fines.
Silly. It's by the team.
Fines. Offensive line fines.
Okay.
Like,
oh.
Us fighting each other, not the
not
NFL
like
fines.
NFL. No.
Oh, okay.
That's illegal.
I like
that's
this. Illegal. I like this.
This is like totally fun. Like, you know, it's $100 here. I know that's a lot of money, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just a joke. Like,
oh, he's humble, and that's because it's like, that's a lot of money, but it's like a realistic amount of money.
Yeah. But, like, there's times where, like, for example, like, to get your point across, you got to start taking money, right? So it's like, Jed will get a false start. It's $100, right? Like, that's not bad. You get 2 false starts, it's $1,000.
I think that's fair.
What?
3.
He's had a rough year.
You get 3, it's $10,000.
Oh.
And you can see how that goes.
Are you guys 1099-ing each other?
Right.
Yeah, at that point, I gave away to a donation. Like,
so a lot of times, at the end of the year, they'll use the money for like a big holiday party, and like you can't even do that this year. So I'm like, stop finding them.
Yeah. So it's we can't use.
Why is that fine for something silly?
It can fast forward into get fines for like getting a game ball if coach calls your name out.
Silly.
Hey, hurry up, Wyatt Teller. Why are you being late? Oh. That's $100 fine. That's a $10 fine. Yeah.
Like dollar fine.
Those are sick. Those are
like
sweet. Is it the Cowboys game?
Yeah. So, like, they're in jest, right? They're to be fun. Like, yeah, we make good money and all this different stuff, but, like, it's also, like, part of camaraderie. Like, yes, it sucks, but, like, the rookies really do pay 98% of the fines. You know what I mean? Like, I might pay, like...
Luckily, our rookie O-lineman is a first-round pick, so...
And he honestly is a good rookie. He doesn't...
Pretty damn good.
He's not, yeah.
So, there's some guys who, like... I haven't had any problem rookies, but I just know that there's problem rookies, and they sometimes can put up to, like, a lot... I'm not going to put numbers on it, but a lot of money... into the end of the year fine.
Hey, we got to wrap this up because it's
Don't put me yawning on there. It's going to
you guys, wait, we're going to get yelled at because you're going to go to bed late, and then you're going to
get fined on our behalf.
Hey, can I gotta admit something? The picture that you guys have, it's the one. It looks like it was taken in the if it's in Cleveland, the Metro Parks, the Valley, maybe, or the big dog, the fall foliage, with the hat on. I gasped when I saw that strong picture.
Up on the wall?
The picture in the bathroom?
Yeah, that's a strong picture. That's Butler, a strong pick.
Butler's falling asleep.
You got the leash. And, oh, yeah, it's a strong pick.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
Let's just wrap
he's a good
up.
Boy. He's Let's just see. Like, he is 10 months old, 85
he's like,
pounds.
He's a Weimaraner, and he's like the biggest Weimaraner you've ever seen.
Yeah, like, I know Weims. The biggest one of Wyme I've ever seen is like I think 75.
Wyatt and Carly and Wyatt, the future Mr. and Mrs. Teller. Thank you so much again for joining us tonight. It was great to catch up and hear a lot of things we have actually been wondering for a very long time. So congratulations again. Thank you, Raleigh.
Proud of you guys on the field. Proud of you guys off the field. But okay, obviously we're proud of you off the field. Happy relationship. Happy wife. Happy life. Seriously, sounds sarcastic, but I mean that. It's the best thing ever. So goddamn proud of you on the field. 11-5.
Let's go.
In the playoffs. Oh my God. Tom was there. We'll have a different episode dedicated to Tom. But that was so magical for the city, for everyone outside of everything you guys are going through, the physical elements your bodies are going through, the stress that I don't even can't even fathom that's in the NFL, the BS you have to put up with the media, whoever, narrative. I am just so happy for you. The city is happy for you. I hope you guys can feel that because I don't give a shit what happens on Sunday. This is the greatest thing ever. But I hope you beat the shit out of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Preach.
And that's the plan. And that's the plan. And, you know, one thing about that win is, you know, it's for you guys, right? It's for the fans because, you know, while I've been here for a year and a half, 2 years, you know, it's great to be a Browns fan and I've seen success. You know, there's a lot of Browns fans who haven't seen success very often. So it's nice to see a Browns team 11-5 going to the playoffs. You're like, wait, what year is it? Is it 2002 or is it 2020? So it's good to see. And, you know, I'm really happy for the city of Cleveland more Me than too. Myself.
Wow.
Let's go. That was
Can't
sick.
Beat that. From the Pancake King of the Midwest himself. That's beautiful. Best of luck this Sunday. I can't wait. Awesome. Now, as soon as we hang up, you got to go right to bed.
Yes. No, I'm literally getting...
We've got some things jammies, to do.
My jammies, they're getting on.
All right, a couple more wedding things, then you guys, it's bedtime.
You can hang out with us.
Half week,
Carly.
Deal.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, it was awesome, guys. You guys are the best.
Thanks. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, guys. Good luck. That does it for Raleigh and I. Thank you so much again to Carly and Wyatt for joining us. We'll be back with you Thursday and Friday of this week. Remember, once again, you can see more information about Tom Seipel in the episode description. Good night, Cleveland.